Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your podcast. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to your podcast.
Welcome to your podcast, Todd, and everybody listening.
Well, it seems like the 2 weeks between shows just go by in a flash. You sent me over the link to the show notes yesterday. I was like, wow, it's already time to record. So but I think that's one of the things that a lot of podcasters have challenges with. Sometimes we're doing the show 2 weeks apart, so it's almost easy to forget. So if we're doing the show once a week, I think it would be more ingrained with us, but that's just the way it is. So I do have to ask, Mike, did your basement stop flooding?
Not yet. I went down there this morning. I did get a good night's sleep, though, last night, but I went down there this morning and I had about an inch and a half of water, so I had to pump it out again.
Well, your sump pump is going to be written welcome addition, right?
Yeah, it's scheduled for next week. So awesome. This spring, when all the snow melts, I won't have that problem.
Okay, or a big rainstorm like you had here recently.
Yeah, we had about 6 inches, so that's a little much for this neighborhood.
That's crazy. But anyway, lots of stuff going on in the news, and it is the season, and I think what it is... 'Tis the season to close podcasting services, and you're kind of feeling the ramifications of that with two separate services that are basically ending their free hosting. So the first one, of course, that's probably been the biggest news was the folks over at Podiant that basically they figured out free wasn't a business model.
Yeah, exactly. They are going to continue to host podcasts, but it's going to be a paid tier, and I don't know what their pricing was like, but apparently a lot of people are leaving because of that. And they say if they're going to pay, they're going to go to a different host. So that's been a little busy for us.
And then there was, I think they're also offering, they're going to offer some free accounts still, but they're going to be very selective. It's something to do with having to serve a community purpose, whatever that means. I think we can see this handwriting on the wall. This one went a lot faster than some of the others, because the typical free service, well, most of the free services that we've seen come and go have had like venture capital funding and they last about 3 years. This one had I think the host, who was well intentioned and a good guy, I think his credit card was getting hit pretty hard. I've always said that it just takes one, really cool 100 terabyte per month podcast user, and your free model just goes down in flames.
Yeah, you gotta, with the free, people don't understand that, no matter what. What you're offering for free, there's going to be somebody that not abuses it, but gets real popular and causes you bandwidth issues. And yeah, I'll bet you that's what it is, that he had a couple of users that got real popular.
And I think he was also having not enough ponies behind the wagon, because the website was having issues. But anyway, so there's another one that bites the dust. Well, it didn't bite the dust. Changed the model. And so they're going to have some adjustment over time, and we wish them the best of luck. Hopefully, they're able to figure it out and keep the lights on. Another one that I wasn't even really aware of, or I kind of overlooked, was folks that are in. There's another app that does this, so I just wonder if their time is limited too. But the Opinion podcast app. Is shutting down their podcasting service on November 1st. That's a week from today. It's Wednesday. The next week,
November 1st.
Yeah, and this show's released on Monday, so this Wednesday it's gone. Yeah.
No, but yeah, the folks at Opinion, they're just turning it off. All their hosting, they're going to leave the app running, and I don't know exactly what the app does. I'm going to have to download it and see what it does. But they're just turning it off. So, you know, everybody's got to move. Luckily, they're making it somewhat easy to move in your settings over there. I've moved one already, and I've got another one scheduled this afternoon. So that'll be
so
good.
Does the app allow you to publish from within the app? I just wonder how that works. How are they, if they're keeping the app on, there must be some functions in it to set FTP or something like that, then, isn't there?
I don't know yet. I'm hoping so, because the one that I'm going to be moving from Opinion today, he wants to continue to use the app. So I've got to figure out how to, well, yeah, if that's possible. You know, if they've got FTP, then that's possible. He can move to us, and we can set up FTP for him. I don't know how he'd make the post, but
yeah,
we'll figure that out.
I don't know either. So I don't know. You know, to me, it's like, whoa, what is this and what's going on? So, you know, it's if I had been paying attention to it, I would have reached out to him before. But anyway, time is tight on that particular app. So, I mean, yeah, maybe it's $3.99. So maybe I'll download it and give it a try too. But yeah, $4 for the app and then trying to host the media for it. I don't know if they were trying to advertise around it or what, but whatever they were doing did not work. So, you know, again, Achilles' heel continues to be the hosting cost.
Yeah.
You know, I made a comment someplace. I said, you know, you've come of age with your content delivery network bill when it's too big to be paid by a credit card and you have to do a bank transfer or send a check. It's, you know, it can get pretty pricey.
Oh, yeah. You know, this stuff isn't free. I mean, you can you can get on our plans, and they're, you know, if you're on our normal plan and you're not a commercial podcast, you know, we write the check for the bandwidth. But, see, we've got a business model for that because we have lots and lots of podcasts, and some of them use a lot of bandwidth, and some of them don't use hardly any. And
you know, even in the beginning when we were first starting hosting, I'll be honest with you. You know, we were writing checks sometimes that were bigger for the hosting bill than the amount of income coming in for the hosting, and you know, we had to grow that to be able to, you know, have a little bit of a delta in between cost and you know, in actual how much money that the hosting was bringing in. So, yeah, it definitely is an interesting model. I think it's unique to podcasting because you don't see this particular model pretty much anywhere. But it is what it is. But anyway, two more companies that have fell victim here. Never to worry. If you are on one of those two platforms, we are, you know, in good shape here. At Blueberry, we definitely want you to, and if you already are, to continue hosting with us, and then encourage those that are not to do so. And the best way to do that is through our affiliate program, becoming an affiliate. Our affiliate program is doing really well as well. But let's talk a little bit, Mike, about the I guess it's a key, I'm going to call it a keystone article over on powerpresspodcast.com. And we talk a little bit about this on the last show, but it's basically an article about preparing your podcast for advertising's future. So did you go through the piece?
Yes, Mike? I definitely did. And it's a lot of what we covered in whatever episode that was. We covered getting ready to do ads, you know, specifically. You want to start running ads right away, even if you have to make them up yourself, you know, by an affiliate program or promo other shows or your show or whatever, and just get good at it. Get used to it.
Yeah, because it's almost like training for a marathon. You know, you can't just walk out the front door, and you might be able to run a marathon the first time, but you're not going to do it well. You know, you're going to walk and you're going to crawl and you might run a little bit, but doing advertising in your show requires a little bit of training. And, you know, it's not like it's total rocket science, but you do have to kind of get like this. I like to call it a battle rhythm of doing ads in your show and knowing where to place them and where they actually fit. So we go into quite some detail about, and really covers 4 points. It talks about running ads early, and that again goes into getting you in the mindset of running ads, and more importantly, getting your listeners used to it, which is number two. So you kind of get them used to it. Now, here's the thing I've always said. If you can find something that aligns with your show and you can promote that on your episode and get your listeners supporting that particular product or service, when in real advertising comes, or when a real advertiser comes in, or a paying advertiser comes in, you're really going to be set up well to, your audience is going to engage on that because they know that that advertiser is helping you keep the lights on.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the thing, a lot of people, you know, a lot of podcasters don't want to put ads in there, and that's fine. But for those of you that do, it's a good practice. You know, get in there, you know, do an ad or a promo of some sort at a particular time and kind of get used to going into and out of the ad. And also, you know, figure out where in your podcast an ad makes sense. Because, you know, certain podcasts don't really lend themselves, or certain parts of a podcast may not lend itself to injecting an ad in there.
Right. You know, and one thing that and one of the points I'm making here is, too, is that if you get in this mode, you're going to, first of all, if you do a promo, let's say you're doing a promo for another podcaster, or you've started an affiliate program somewhere to promote a product or service. Places to get those types of deals are on within the article. But if you think in your mind, okay, and if you, and I'm not saying pretend, but if you say, okay, what if someone was paying me $1,000 for each episode to run this ad, you would put a lot of work into making sure that ad really rocked. Because if that person was giving you $1,000 a month, this would have you'd have really the motivation to really knock it out of the ballpark. So when you're doing your ads in your show, imagine you're getting $1,000 check and really knock it out of the ballpark. It really makes a difference. The tone and annotation and excitement and everything that goes along with delivering a good endorsed ad really boils back to your ability to get behind the product and truly sell it.
Right.
And you know, so.
Just saying, you know, like if you do an affiliate program, you may get $1,000 out of that ad.
Right.
So
right.
Think of it that way.
Yeah. And another thing this does is it gives you the ability to build an inventory of sample ads. So, you know, run an ad, get it kind of perfected for a month, and then switch it up, do something else. And in that way, you'll have some inventory that you'll be able to share with prospective advertisers. So you can take and send them 3 or 4 clips. And you should always, when you're giving a sample to a prospective advertiser, you should give them 30 seconds before the ad starts and 30 seconds after. So what that'll give them is an indication of how you transition into the ad and then how you transition out. And it'll give them a little taste of your content at the same time. But more importantly, the thing that I wanted to share in this article was preparing for a changing advertising landscape. So podcasters need to start thinking about where in their podcast an ad could be injected. So this is a little different. So let's say you've run that ad, you've gotten this, you're getting this battle rhythm of practicing on how to do an ad spot. But let's say now, 15 minutes later in your show, or 10 minutes later, you said, man, right here in my program is a great transition point for an ad to be dropped in my show. And keep track of those time marks. You know, if you're editing your show, go in there and run your cursor down and say, okay, is there about a second and a half or 2 seconds of space here where an ad could go, and mark the middle of that blank area, or that dead air, and mark that and figure out in minutes, in seconds, in decimals of seconds, where that injection will happen, so that you keep a little spreadsheet, and for every episode, you know, have that data point. Because what could happen here in the future is there may be the ability to, and also number one, get you in the mindset of doing that every show. Number two, it could end up, we could backfill your inventory with advertising by using ad injection.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, with ad injection, you know, you want to make sure that you know right where you want that, because you'll be able to set that, you know, in most systems, and I believe the system we have coming up soon will have that ability. So, you know, you can change the ad up, you know, over time.
And you want to measure that time mark when you've already cut the ends, when you've already got it the perfect length of where your show's going to be, because you don't want to put this, you know, let's say it's 8 minutes, 32 seconds, decimal 2. And if you make an adjustment to the length of the content, we don't want to drop the ad right in the middle of the time when you're saying, well, most exciting, and then an ad starts. That would not be cool. That is not the experience that we want to
Yeah, well, it's going to take some time to get used to when we start using that sort of system.
So that's where the practice comes in now. And again, preparing for the changing advertising landscape. But this is a keystone article that we put out. And we're going to be seeing more stuff like this coming from our team, because we're trying to get all of you on your podcast to get really aligned for a changing landscape.
Yeah, this business, that's one thing about it, is it's constantly changing, and we try to keep up.
Yes, we are. And matter of fact, that's we're going to have some announcements soon, and it's all due to a changing landscape. So, Mike, what's happening over at Apple? We're here. There's some updates going on.
Yeah, Apple is, of course, getting ready to release their second part of the announcement that they had for iOS 11. It's, you know, the more in-depth stats coming right from Apple. And while they're doing that, they're doing a lot of work on the Apple Podcast Directory. And there's been some changes already, and there's going to be some more changes coming, nothing drastic. But that could slow down the updating of your listing over there. It's not going to slow down the delivery of your podcast, because, as you guys know, we beat this dead horse enough that when people subscribe, even in the Apple software, they're subscribing directly to your feed, not through anything at Apple. They're just using the software. But the listing over there may be delayed sometimes. You know, it's going to be random. It's going to be, you know, it could be, you know, real fast one time, and then the next time you do an episode, it might take a day.
It gets annoying. You know, I understand as a podcaster, it gets annoying when your listing doesn't update. But wow. So yeah. We're seeing it all over the map then, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, there would be some podcaster that, well, my podcast, I put it out at 12 o'clock midnight every Tuesday, and usually it's updated by 6 a.m. Well, you know, this time it's not updated till 10 a.m. Or the next day, you know, because like I said, it can be up to 24 hours. I haven't seen it go much more than that, but just be aware that they are working on things, and when they're working on things, stuff slows down a little bit over there. So, you know, they're only human.
Yeah.
So
you know, another topic you've got that we've got to talk about is transcription, and it seems that every week or every month there's a new company that's joined the transcription service, and a lot of podcasters get really excited about providing transcripts for their show. It's usually not very cheap; it's usually pretty expensive. But you found an article that talks about 5 reasons to transcribe your podcast, and I've got some opinions on this. I know you do too, Mike, but why don't we talk a little bit about transcripts and some things that, you know, let's just go over the points that you had concerns about.
Yeah, it's a company called Sonix, and they're in the business of doing transcriptions. We're not doing an ad for them, but they put an article up, and you know, some of it I agree with and some of it I didn't, and I figured it was a good topic for us to talk about here. The first thing they put up as their number one reason is to improve discoverability. Well, I think they're a little flawed in that, and you have a lot more experience with this than I do. But you know, putting a transcript up, transcripts are generally really lousy for Google bots and search engines, because conversational text is not very contextual, and that's what people that's what helps with discoverability, is the context of all that. And they say to use that in your show notes and in your feed and all that. And over time we've realized that all those extra words in there that don't really apply to your topic actually hurt you in SEO.
They say transcripts are more conversational by nature. No one talks or thinks in keywords. They think in full sentences. The transcription of a conversation has a natural flow. It's how people talk, and this is what Google wants. This is not true. Google doesn't want this. Google wants true context, like you just said. And, I'm not saying that transcripts are bad, but transcripts for SEO purposes, you have to be extremely careful, because again, the transcripts almost have to be completely rewritten in a way that has context, so that it doesn't look like one long run-on sentence. And, the worst thing you could ever do is to cut and paste a transcript into the body of your blog post. That would be, without any context, without links, without structure, you almost have to undo how it reads as talk and make it read as a book almost. So it's really hard to describe, but it is truly different.
Yeah, most of us don't talk in story form. You and I, when we're having our conversation here on the podcast, we're not talking as if we're doing an article. We're right. Talking as a conversation, and this conversation would probably be pretty lousy if it was in text to even read it. It's good in audio form, but not so good reading it or especially not for the search engines. There's no context to it. It's just a bunch of words.
For like an interview show, the best thing you could do as far as the actual transcript is to, write the question without all the other flub, and then write the meat of the answer in story form so that you have that context. But, Mike, how do you think people, and I'm kind of curious, I don't know if, you've done any transcripts, but how do you think folks are, because I have, and I kind of did my transcripts a little different, but how do you think folks should put transcripts up for their show?
Well, what I've done in the past, I did a ham radio podcast, which was mainly trying to get people ready to take the ham radio exam. So we had very, structured, almost scripted content. I would put just kind of the bullet points in the blog post, and then I would make a PDF available. So just, make it into a PDF, upload that somewhere and put a link to it in the show notes. Here, if you want the full transcript, here you go. And it was basically the script that we had for the class.
Yep.
And that worked out really well, and it didn't overload Google with a bunch of nonsense words, yet it was still there. One of the things Sonic says in their article is, it helps accessibility. Well, yeah, PDFs work great in screen readers for the blind. So, that'd be a way to do that without screwing up your SEO.
That's true. But it does, it may not make the experience as warm and rich for someone with that's hearing impaired too. So, there's a double-edged sword here a little bit.
Sure, and in that case, what you could do, especially if you're using WordPress, so you make your blog post with the bullet points, whatever, and make a separate page somewhere on your site. That's another idea that has that transcript on it, but don't make that part of your blog post or your feed. Make that part of a separate page on your site.
I actually made a separate site. I put my transcripts on a completely different site and then linked to the site, not the specific post in the episode. And that's what I did for a while. But I found that no one read the transcripts. I'd get one or two people that went and looked at the transcripts on a weekly basis. So for me, I just didn't get a lot of traction from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work and a lot of expense for, you know, little gain in most cases. But like I said, in the case of this ham radio class that we did via podcasting, that worked out well because, you know, people did want to refer back to it and it was easier to search in a PDF and that worked out great. So anyway, so, boy, we're not going through the whole notes real quickly here, Todd. We're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. So I just noticed that as well. But anyway, so just be careful on how you implement transcripts. And if you want us to dig deeper on that, we can cover that in a future show. So let's talk a little bit about stuff going on in support. So you've got a question here. Who were my subscribers?
Yeah, I had somebody ask, they had started their podcast or launched, in quotes, their podcast. And they said, well, how do I tell who my subscribers are? And I said, well, there's no real way to do that. Because it's just the web and everybody's kind of, they're not, they're anonymous. They're, you know, you don't have to type your name in to subscribe to a podcast. And she goes, oh, well, I told everybody that, you know, the first 25 to subscribe would get a prize. I'm like, oh, geez.
Well, so maybe the first 25 to email you.
Yeah.
And another thing you can do is, of course, run a demographic survey at some point to find out, you know, about your audience. And then when you're asking your audience in your show, tell them when they email you, say, tell me a little bit about yourself. That's what I do.
Right. And it's always good to know some of your listeners. I find that's great. You know, like on my main show that I do, I've got a few regular contributors that, you know, send me emails and it's kind of neat. We get inside jokes and stuff going on. So, it's good to interact with your audience, but, you know, there's no technical way that we could just say, okay, well, Susie and John and George all subscribe to your podcast today. You know, there's just no technical way to do that. And even the number of subscribers is a hard thing to ascertain.
Yeah, you can use that trending line within the stats at Blueberry. All right, having a podcast page on your site and why that's just extra work. Use the blogging post instead. So what's happening there?
Yeah, a lot of people want to have a page on their site that's, slash podcast, whatever.com/podcast. And they want just their podcast to show up there. And that's a lot of extra work. What I always tell people is, okay, you're blogging and podcasting, or, you know, some of them are blogging, and, generally you're going to be blogging about the same thing you're podcasting about, and your blog readers would be interested in your podcast, and your podcast listeners would be interested in your blog.
Exactly.
And so why not just have it be your blog role? That's your podcast.
And if you have your podcast on page 2 of your website and people land on your main page where all your regular content is, 9 out of 10 times they're going to leave and never know that you even have a podcast. So make sure it's okay to have a podcasting page that explains the show, a little bit about it, where to subscribe, all that.
Yeah, and the other thing you can do is, you can do the playlist player, especially in PowerPress. We have a playlist player. So if you have a page about your podcast, throw that playlist player there. But, use your blog role for what it was intended for. Blogging and podcasting are really the same thing. Just add media.
And one other thing, too, is I put my my podcast player with the episodes, the multiple episodes on my subscribe page. That's where I put it. So they can even sample shows there. So blogging is podcasting, just with audio media. Let's talk about upgrading and downgrading hosting every month. Matter of fact, I saw a ticket exactly this come in this morning. So what's the story there?
Oh, a lot of people, that are hosting with us, like 1 month they need X number of megabytes and the next month they need less. So they do a lot of upgrading and downgrading. Well, the way our system works, it's just a little inside tip, is when you upgrade or downgrade, it isn't, say you have a $40 a month plan and you want to go to the $20 a month plan. Well, or vice versa. If you're on $20 a month plan and you want to go to the 40, it's not going to cost you 20. It's going to cost you 40 again. Right. Now, if it's within a couple of days, whatever, we usually refund the previous payment, but it's not a straight upgrade like that.
Yeah, we don't do a pro rate. on our system. So if you buy the $12 plan on November 1st, and then you upgrade to the bigger plan a few days later, you don't get a prorate per se. It'll charge you $20. Now, if you're just doing that for the first time and you're not changing every month, you know, we'll often give you a refund for the $12. But if you are one of those clients that's every month changing, it costs us extra money to actually refund, especially if it's on the credit card. So we please do that within 2 days prior to the next payment date. So if you know what your anniversary date is, and again, we bill on the, if you start your service on the 18th, we rebill you on the 18th. So we don't take your, we don't line it up with the first of the month.
Right. And, you know, especially with the credit card payments versus PayPal, PayPal is a little easier to deal with as far as refunds and that kind of thing. But, you know, say you pay on the 18th and then you decide you need to upgrade on the 19th. Well, if you do that upgrade on the 19th, our system will automatically refund you for that previous payment. But it's within a couple of days either way of the anniversary date. So,
okay.
So just, be careful with that. And just understand that when you change your plan, you're actually canceling what you have now and signing up for the new plan. So it's a full charge.
All right.
And like I said, we can work with you, depending on the situation and all that. But it's not an automatic refund. And doing it every month is going to probably lose you money over time.
Let's just leave it upgraded to the size that you need and then be done with it. I don't know. I wouldn't mess with it personally. I just changing every month to save $8 is not.
Yeah, it's just the hassle of it, the hassle factor of having to go in and do it and all that. So, if you need 250 3 months out of six, well, leave it at 250. Yeah. But hey, that's however you want to do it, but just know that there's issues with it.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're at the end of the topic here and end of the content for your podcast this week. And I hope you've enjoyed our quick run through of things going on in the podcasting space. And don't forget to consider, if you're not already hosting with Blueberry, you can get a free month by using the code BLUBRRY005, Blueberry005. And we'll do a free migration for you. We'll get you set up. Don't forget, every one of our hosting plans includes 25% additional overage each month, so that if you do need a little bit extra space, we do just give that to you as part of our hosting plan. But if you've got comments on today's show, you can mail them to yourpodcast@blueberry.com. Mike and I will get the email. Any parting thoughts, Mike?
No, just get out there and podcast and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. And as we're starting to approach the holiday period, don't slow down. Keep them rocking. And we'll talk more about that as we get closer to the holidays. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, you've been listening to myself and Mr. Mike Dell. We look forward to joining you in a couple of weeks here on your podcast.